Welcome to StarCast for Monday, the 23rd of August, 2021. My name's Eric Francis Coppolino, the host of Planet Waves FM and author of the Planet Waves Horoscope, here with a short astrology update for you. Thanks for listening. This podcast has proven to be quite popular, and I'm rather liking that. Great fun. All right. So, wherever you may be out there in the world, I'm recording on Sunday night because there's like a hurricane coming up the coast or something to wherever, someplace it's raining and stuff. I thought I'd do this early just in case we lost power, which we don't usually, but heck, why not? So today, early this morning, about 8 o'clock Eastern, was the full moon in the last degree of Aquarius. I've said quite a bit about that moon. If you scroll down and listen to the last couple of episodes, you'll hear lots of descriptions about those last degrees of the zodiac and the mysterious degree of Aquarius 30, the soul emerging from its metamorphosis process and meeting its soul group, opposed by the sun and the last degree of Leo, the degree of the unsealed letter, the one about how all things are revealed. All right, so that's in the archives. Full moon is behind us, and that tension has pretty well eased away. It's interesting how that can be so palpable. I mean, like, you think, you know, really, you can feel the planets? Actually, yeah, you can feel the planets, especially something like the full moon. Gorgeous view last night of the moon with Jupiter behind it. I brought my guitar out to the courthouse courtyard, the county court courtyard, and sat on a tree stump and looked up at the moon with Jupiter behind it. And I took a couple of hits on my vape, had my guitar, and sat there and just played guitar in the middle of the night, looking up at that thing, trying to visualize Jupiter being 1,200 times the size of the Earth. Now think about that. It looks like a little speck behind the moon, but in fact, it is more comparable in size to the sun. Jupiter is so big it wobbles the sun in its orbit around the galaxy, and that was a fun meditation. And I'm not sure anyone's ever sat and played guitar in the Ulster County Courthouse front yard. Anyway, that's what I did. The moon is now in Pisces. The sun is now in Virgo. And that begins a whole new story. I've been writing about the holistic principle. That's what Virgo really is about in contemporary times. Virgo is the sign associated with integration and with healing. It's also, since astrology is really a thing devised in the Northern Hemisphere, it's about the harvest. So Virgo is the third sign of the current season we're in. If you're down under, that would be the third sign or third month of winter. If you're up in the Northern Hemisphere, it's the third sign or third month of the summer season. Virgo is a mutable sign. The seasons always end on mutable signs. So there's that feeling of change, of transition, of the slide from one season to the next. It's another one of those distinctly palpable sensations of when the sun is in a mutable sign. There's just that sense of transition in the air. The equinox, the Libra equinox, is on the 22nd. 1 month from now, we will get there in a future event. But again, 4 weeks left to this season. All right, so today on Sunday, we've got, just looking at Sunday's chart. Got the chart for the ingress, and that's of the moon, the ingress, the sun. Okay, I guess that's it for Sunday. Monday, the main event of Monday is the moon passing through a kind of an opposition structure that is existing in the middle degrees of Virgo and Pisces. So in Virgo, there is Mars and Mercury. In Pisces, there's a centaur, kind of like Chiron, a little bit of a darker theme than Chiron, called Nessus, discovered in 1993. And the moon will make a conjunction to that at 9:23 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. So when the moon makes a conjunction to Nessus, it's also making an opposition to Mars, an opposition to Mercury, and a conjunction to Neptune and Pallas Athene. So there's planets stretched across the divide, the imaginary divide between Virgo and Pisces, and then the moon slips in there. It is there now. The moon slips in there and highlights that oppositional energy. And so, for example, what you've got are planets, Mars and Mercury, opposing this group in Pisces. And so we've got full activation of the Virgo-Pisces axis. Now, Nessus in... Okay, so Nessus is a centaur, and it's a Neptune-like centaur. It's a little bit hazy and cloudy, and it has a theme in the myth of sexual transgression, but it's a hazy theme because the facts of the myth do not translate exactly out of ancient Greek, and so it's left ambiguous whether this sexual transgression was not one at all, whether it was fully voluntary, whether it was a toll paid for a river crossing, or whether it was some kind of a forced sexual incident. No, it is unclear, and I think this is an important theme of Nessus, which is that hazy sense that often exists around such experiences and such incidents, and it's calling for some clarity. The clarity comes through the detail seeking of Mars and Mercury in Virgo, and there is an important level in addressing these issues of getting the basic hard cold facts out onto paper, whatever they may be, names, identities, the chronologies, and things like this. And then there is the feeling level of the event, the feeling level of the incident, and then the feeling that you carry with you into adulthood. That is difficult to grasp. The moon will be conjunct Neptune. Neptune's got a very wide orb of influence. And so even today, right now, with the moon just in the very early degrees of Pisces, I consider that a moon-Neptune conjunction. So Neptune is not adding to the clarity of anything. It is a foggy feeling thing. And again, there's this, can be this sense of disappearing, of denial, of drift, of delusion, of uncertainty, of something emotionally. And so you can't exactly really trust your emotions for the next couple of days. You have to just sort things out and give them time. Pisces, as do the other mutable signs, always benefits from things being given time to work out and time for the facts to come out. Of note, and I've been tracking this for a while, but I haven't said anything about it in this particular forum, we are living with a conjunction of Pallas Athene and Neptune. This is Pallas has a four-year orbit. It's an inner belt. It's a main inner belt asteroid. I think the fourth asteroid discovered in the early 19th century, and one of the larger ones. And its theme is government. Its theme is also daddy pleasing. So Pallas has two themes. One of them is all things related to law and government, and then the other is a personal, more intimate theme of daddy pleasing. And so we've got Pallas Athene in a conjunction to Neptune, and there's a lot of daddy pleasing going on. Though there's a lot of doing this because authority figures want you to do this, and that will seem to go along just fine until it's not. Until there's a real problem that starts to become manifest. And actually, I mean, you don't have to look too far to see evidence of that problem, but Neptune's influence is going to provide a shield and make people want to deny that, because once you acknowledge that there's a problem, and this is true of any, I think, serious personal problem, particularly something associated with anything about Neptune. You know, for example, overuse of a substance or of alcohol, any self-destructive type of pattern, any persistent type of denial, the admission of the problem is such a big deal, because that's the threshold between being willing to acknowledge everything that the problem itself is concealing, right? So one layer of problem tends to conceal another layer of problem. So, for example, in the case of someone who's overusing alcohol, that is generally a strategy, a kind of firefighting strategy to conceal a diversity of other problems. So when you admit the problem with the alcohol, then you are ready to start to kind of turn around and look at all the next stuff that's concealed by that. And so this is where we stand in many ways as a society. It's certainly worse in some parts of the world than in others. Things are very, very rough in Australia right now. My heart goes out to you, although it does seem that in some places people are starting to wake up and pay attention. This is now the spiritual quest that we face. What we call spirituality is not about seeming like a good person. It's really about your willingness to confront the truth of the world and the truth about yourself. On the theme of Virgo as being the holistic principle, this is a whole system kind of thing. It's really the healing process right now for us as individuals is seeing where we fit into society, what our part in all this is, and the influence that society has on us, and what the relationship really is. A lot of things are blurred right now by the presence of Neptune in Pisces, and that is just a lot of Neptune. I mean, Neptune is considered the modern ruler of Pisces. When you put them together, it's not like adding them together. It's more like multiplying them against one another. So if you're paying attention over the next few days, a whole lot of layers of feeling may start to come out, and you may notice that that acknowledging one thing reveals another thing, and then that reveals another thing. The moon is exactly conjunct this Pallas Athene conjunction to Neptune. That itself is exact right now. The three line up in an exact conjunction at 5:12 a.m. on Tuesday, the 12th. All times are in Eastern time in this podcast. Please check for your local time zone against New York time. The next big whistle stop, as I'm calling them, is 2:57 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time on Tuesday, the 24th. The moon leaves Pisces and it enters Aries. The moon at that time makes a conjunction to Salacia. I've linked the Salacia article. Maybe I'll put it right at the... there's two articles on Clued right above the archive. So scroll down. Go to planetwaves.net/starcast if you're listening on some alternative service. Planetwaves.net. Go to Starcast. And then right above all the archived audios, I'm going to put an article about Neptune and an article about Salacia. They were consorts. Salacia was the wife of Neptune. She was kind of a sea nymph. The word is not the root of the English word salacious. They're actually from different word roots. Did a lot of research into this, and including with the help of the editor of the Etymology Online Dictionary, who explained the rules of etymology to me. And that was our kind of test case where I actually got why when something sounds like something, it doesn't mean that it actually comes from that word root. So Salacia was herself not Salacia. She was actually quite a proper creature and was a virgin at the time that she took Neptune as her husband. Today the word salacious means like seedy and racy and all of that. And I think that it is improperly poorly colored. I think that what is salacious needs to be honored more as being part of the living human spirit. We are lusty, horny creatures. We are interested in one another. We are spotting all the beautiful people around us. We all have that slightly or very dirty mind going on back there. And I think we need to make room for that and honor that. So the moon will be conjunct Salacia. And then what is interesting is that as the moon moves through Aries later this week, it will pass through an opposition between Chiron and Venus. So there's a Venus-Chiron opposition brewing as we speak. I'm going to go a little bit longer in this edition since I'm on a roll and it's the week ahead. Let's take a look at that. I will come back to it. I may start with it in one in an immediately future episode, position aspect, Venus is opposite Chiron. I'm using the defunct Star Sprite program. It's on the 26th, so it's at the end of the week, but it's still in full force. And any contact between Venus and Chiron, first of all, highlights the healing nature of sexuality. It is about understanding the inherently self-centered, especially with Aries and Libra involved, the self-centered aspect of sexuality. And I think what is interesting is that while the conjunction of Venus and Chiron was described by Barbara Hand Clow in her brilliant book Chiron Rainbow Bridge as orgasmic fusion with the cosmos, she delineates Venus opposite Chiron as catastrophobia. This is a thing that we live with in our society right now. We are constantly being fed nonstop 24/7 fear of catastrophe. It is a perfectly good way to manipulate us. If you'd like to be manipulated, just maintain your love affair with your fear of catastrophe. Stop having fun. Stop doing anything interesting and pretend you don't have a body. And then you'll be able to indulge all the catastrophobia you want. Your option is to remember you have a body, hang out in it, remember that it is a vehicle for expressing the vital force and creativity and love and pleasure and passion and roaming around in the woods and snuggling with kittens and puppies. And that's one of my favorite things to do. And loving one another physically. When we don't do these things, when we don't actually experience the positive things that being in a body has to offer, that can go bad real fast because, first of all, we're pushed out of body. There's all kinds of free-floating anxiety looking for something to grasp onto. And there is an example of catastrophobia and how it might set in. So I am... If you're not following my coverage of the world situation, basically encouraging people to like calm down and ease off on all of the hygiene theater and just take care of yourself. You know, get your rest and do things you enjoy doing and do your part to lower your stress level and not be in situations and scenes that you don't want to be in. Find people you care about and hang out with them. Find something you like to do and do that, and you'll feel a lot better. All right, so there's a new horoscope out. That's available from the monthly horoscopes tab on planetwaves.net. New edition of Planet Waves FM came out on Friday night, a kind of a glorious edition. You can find that at planetwaves.fm. I have a new book out called Planets in Motion. You can find that right on the StarCast home feed at planetwaves.net/starcast. Thanks for listening. Welcome to the many new people who are hearing about Planet Waves for the first time in all kinds of strange and interesting places we've never had any reach. It is good to be with you. Again, my name's Eric Francis, and I'll be back on Wednesday. Thanks for listening, and stay in touch.